Long brewing rancor between authors Lillian Hellman and Mary McCarthy bubbled over when McCarthy called Hellman a liar on The Dick Cavett Show. Every word she writes is a lie, including and the, McCarthy claimed. Hellman sued. The nasty literary feud is the inspiration for Hellman v. McCarthy, the next presentation in the El Paso Community Foundation Jewel Box series at the Philanthropy Theater. El Paso playwright and actress Camila Carr directs and stars as Lillian Hellman in a Reader's Theater version of the Brian Richard Morey play at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, March 11th in the Philanthropy Theater on the second floor of the Plaza Theater Performing Arts Center Annex, right above the box office. Here to tell us all about it is Camila Carr. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Camila, you are Lillian Hellman in this reader's version.
That's right. And Mary Jane Wendell will be Mary McCarthy.
Now, Mary Jane Wendell sounds like a familiar name because she is related to Janice Wendell from the El Paso Community Foundation.
Mary Jane is Janice Wendell's daughter-in-law. But Mary Jane is also very well known for having starred in many of Marty Martin's plays.
Did you know she was going to be your Mary? Did you think about doing this piece with her in mind?
Oh, yes. Yes, I knew she would be perfect.
And then I believe Janice's son is also?
Will Wendell is a very, very wonderful young actor and playwright. And I have worked with Will before, both on his play, and then he was in Frank Levering's play for Appomattox, which I brought to El Paso with Frank Levering and my dear friend, Pulitzer recipient, Beth Henley, came in to co-produce it with me.
And the Jewel Box has been friendly to you, or actually, I should say, you've been friendly to the Jewel Box.
Thank you.
You've done a lot of pieces, which is really, really neat.
It's wonderful to have that theater. And every time I'm there, I think Janice Woods Wendell, Betty McGuire, for having created that magnificent place. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I know when Janice was building it, the contractor said, or the architect said, I guess you want a black box. And she said, No. I want a jewel box.
And here we are.
Yeah, and here we are.
So what drew you to this work in particular?
Well, because it's very dramatic. And because I have been for most of my life, beginning when I was a very young girl, a big fan of Lillian Hellman's. And I really didn't know anything about this feud. I knew she had many, many feuds. She wasn't an easy person. And that's always interesting. But yeah. She had this vision of herself from the time that she was a young girl. She decided that because she wasn't considered a beauty, and she wasn't, so she presented herself as a very elegant, erudite person. And
it seems like people bought it.
And people bought it. Well, she came from a good, very fine family. She was born in New Orleans, and then her family moved to New York, and she was very well educated. And then she became a secretary and worked different jobs in New York City. And eventually she met the great writer Dashiell Hammett, and they fell in love with each other. And one day she said to him, I would like to write a play. And he said, really? Well, so what kind of play are you thinking of writing? She said, I don't know. I just want to write something. And he said, well, you got to have a story. So consider this one. There were these two lesbian nuns in France, and they were absolutely ostracized by the little village in France. And until the day they died, I mean, they were fighting these lawsuits and the horror of the little tiny township who thought that was just about the worst thing that could happen. And he said, so you might consider an Americanized version of that, which became the Children's Hour.
Now, you, much like her, were encouraged by your partner to write.
My husband was Edward Anhalt, who wrote Beckett, and that he received his second Academy Award for Beckett with Richard Burton and Peter O'Toole. And his first Academy Award with his first wife, Edna Anhalt, for Panic in the Streets, and that was with Richard Widmark. But he had every award there was to give. He had the British Academy Award and the Laurel Award for writing for the screen, and he had many, 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 many awards.
What was that like for you?
Oh, I was thrilled that he had all those awards. I was glad to know a writer who knew what they were doing. I had written as a child, always I wrote as a child, from the time that I could hold a pen or a pencil. And my mother actually gave me a box of Crayolas and said, please don't write on the walls or on the floor. And I wrote from the time that I could write anything until I was 12 or 13 years old. And by that time, I had written 22 little novellas, and I'd taken the cardboard that the pages were attached to and illustrated the cover of the book and taped it together.
Do you remember what you wrote about?
Well, I wrote about things that I didn't even know about, and so I had to go to the Encyclopedia Britannica to do this. There was not too much information in Chillicothe, Texas. But my aunt was the librarian and the city secretary, and she would also meet you at the door if someone had died and take you to the funeral parlor next door. If you needed some gossip put in the newspaper, drop it in a slot and she'd make sure it got to the newspaper. And behind her office, down a hall, was the city library.
That was your spot.
And that was mine. That was my library. I read every book in that library. And I knew I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't know exactly how to go about it. So I just put pen to page and made my efforts. But as I got older and became a teenager, I realized I really didn't know what I was doing. And I needed to know about craft, and I needed to know about words. I didn't have any confidence that I was really any good at it.
But that's some insight at that age, because at that age, you think you know everything.
Well, I didn't think I knew anything really about how to put a book together or a play or anything like that. But when I got into the eighth grade, my teacher took a play that I had written called Willie Helped and let me cast all my little school friends in it. And they performed Willie Help, and I didn't write another play for decades until All About Betty.
But in between there,
well, I moved to Los Angeles and took my little son, and we moved to L.A., and that was in 1974, I think, or maybe 76. But I had already, because I was very active at Theater 3 in Dallas, Texas, which was and is a prestigious theater in Dallas. At that time, there were no real theaters in Dallas except for the Dallas Theater Center and Theater 3. They were, and I got my equity card there, which is a very important thing for an actor to have if you want to get paid. And from working in that theater, then producers in town who were making movies, like there was one called A Bullet for Pretty Boy, and that paid for my son's birth. And I got my Screen Actors Guild card. So that was great. So I had those two cards when I went to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to Los Angeles, two of the movies that I had made were showing, and one was Logan's Run, of which I was one of seven actors who had talking roles. And then the other one was called Poor White Trash Part 2. And I thought, oh, my God, I can't tell anyone I've ever done the Poor White Trash Part 2. That's so terrible.
Part 2, nonetheless.
But I want to tell you something. I picked up the L.A. Times, and there was the best review of that movie in there that I've probably ever gotten for any movie.
Really?
And they loved it. They thought it was so realistic. At any rate, meeting Edward, he encouraged me, and he said, well, you know, what would you like for a wedding gift? And I said, well, I don't want any jewelry, and I don't want a trip. I want you to go to New York with me and optioned this book that my friend wrote. It's called Splendora, and which was about a transvestite from East Texas. It was way before its time.
We're just now.
Who falls in love with the minister of the First Baptist Church, who falls in love with her, except he wishes that she was him, which he is. Anyway, so, yeah, so we got that one going, and then Edward, we came back, and he said, okay, I don't have time to write the treatment. Do you think you can write a treatment? And I said, oh, I don't know what a treatment is. And so he explained it to me. He said, you think you can do that? I said, well, I'll try. And then he read the treatment, and he said, well, Camilla, you can write. And I said, well, I've been writing ever since I was a child, but I kind of gave it up because I just didn't know what I was doing. And he said, believe me, you can write. You want to write this with me? And I said, uh-huh.
Okay.
Twist my arm. And
we're going to take a break right here. And when we come back, we'll have more with Camilla Carr here on State of the Arts.